So we left off last week, we were discussing a shaila that's potentially ramifications, la halacha, about the parameters of this prohibition of being nenem in ameis. Everyone agrees that one is not permitted to derive benefit from a dead body. The question is, who exactly is included in this isser? So how in the world does it get into Baba Kama? So it's all based on the Tosa's question, the Tosa's answer about Bor. Tosa's posed the question, how come we need a special pasuk to tell me that shor v'lo adam, that if a person falls into a Bor, or the Bala Bor is exempt from paying? Why don't we say that since the dead body is asav hana'ah, we have a rule, luchas bor, whenever the victim of the bor is asav hana'ah, such as the shor psuli hamikdashin, the animal that was a carbon at one time, so there's an automatic freebie from bor. You never chay from bor in a case when the mace is asav hana'ah. So why do we need a pasuk for, typically, that all mace are asav hana'ah? So Tosfos responded, obviously, not all mesim are asav hana'ah. Certain mesim are mutar hana'ah. One of those mesim would be a non-Jewish mace. So if a non-Jewish person was owned by a Jew, and we're going to have to fine-tune what exactly that means, have a kenani, etc. If a non-Jewish person is owned by a Jew, and that would have been a hefsed mamon, that would have been mutar hana'ah, and that would have potentially been part of the parasha bor, comes the pasuk and says it's not true. Shor v'lo adam, and you're part of it anyway. So we saw that although Tosas brought a raya from this Gemara that a mace achom is mutar hana'ah, not everyone was agreed to this. The Ramban, other Rishonim were hemming and hawing, they were hesitating whether in fact is the case. How do we paskin the halacha in the shayla? So most of the poskim are makel in the shayla. The minhag olam seems to be pretty makel in the shayla. We mentioned last week that the doctors will makel in the shayla, because if you're not makel in this question, then it's very hard to go to medical school, because you're deriving hana'ah, you're gleaning information that's worth money. That's what we mentioned last week. The person's getting advancing in his career based on the studies that he's doing for the mesim. Unless you subscribe to the view that a mace of a non-Jew is mutar hana'ah, it would be hard to defend that practice. We end up relying on this kula sometimes on the less strenuous circumstances, less important circumstances like this. There was a fascinating shaila that was presented to the Mishnah Melech. We made quick reference to it last week. The Mishnah Melech was presented with the following shaila, that there were Jews who wanted to enter into the mummy business, and they wanted to buy and sell mummies, make a couple of dollars off of it. So interesting business. So the Mishnah Melech has a whole discussion about, can we defend that based on the fact that it's a non-Jewish mace? How do you know it's a non-Jewish mace? So the Mishnah Melech writes that the overwhelming odds are that most of the people who are being mummified in ancient Egypt were not Jewish. So he said, we can assume King Tut is probably a goy. The holiday is King Tut is a goy. So we can assume that that would be all right. So those who wanted to be makel and those shilas would be make on the same grounds based on atosis. The later post can bring up another modern day application of the shayla in terms of different kinds of transplants. So many transplants are mamash pikuach nefesh. The person needs a kidney, needs a liver, needs a heart or something. So that's clearly going to be pikuach nefesh. There are other important issues involved in transplants, particularly transplants that are taken from live donors are very, very, depends on what you define as a live donor. That's the question. If it's technically a live donor, that would be okay. If it's what the halacha considers to be a live donor and the medicine considers to be not alive, that becomes very, very tricky. But putting aside all those issues, we've overcome those obstacles. Just to be a fact that the person is now benefiting from something that came from a dead body, would that pose a problem? If it's pikuach nefesh, pikuach nefesh is mutter under all circumstances. But what if it would be a kind of a transplant that maybe wouldn't be pikuach nefesh? Maybe one could argue that the person would be able to live without it. Would the fact that he's benefiting from an organ, from or skin, or whatever it is, from a dead body, would that pose a problem of an isra hana'ah? So again, if it would be from a non-Jewish body, so then we would probably be willing to be mekel. It was a fascinating suggestion that was made by one of the rabbanim. I don't remember which one of the chief rabbis over the years came up with the following interesting idea, that maybe we could permit the organs based on the following. Maybe that's not called being nenem in ameis. Why is it not called being nenem in ameis? Because the organ has a tchias ameisim. That means when the organ is put into the skin, whatever is put back into your body, so it comes back alive again. So once it comes back alive, it's twice meis. So you just had a mini tchias ameisim that took place. So you know, if I have to put that on the topic of one year ago in Shavuos night, I spoke a little bit in the middle of the night about halakhic issues of tchias ameisim. I figured it would wake people up. Some people were closer to being meisim than being alive during the course of the year. I figured that would give a little bit of a kick. So that's one of the interesting shalas that the post can raise. But again, but the assumption of our discussion is that at least according to Tosfos, a mace of a non-Jew would be permissible by law. So
what's an example of something that you get an organ that's not?
So it could be not necessarily an organ, say a skin graft, something. There may be certain things that.
Or a skin graft, you would think, is also.
I'm not committing to say one thing or another. I'm not saying that there is any particular case out there, but let's see, there would be.
Well, a case where he's getting an organ, but it's not pikuach nefesh.
Right. I mean, either an organ or part of a body or something.
I don't think they ever do it. But the hypothetical case is somebody loses a kidney and someone donates one of his to him. So he could function with one kidney, but you're better off with two.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll leave the medical parts out for the doctors. I don't know. But I want to move on to the next point in terms of almost building off this Tosfos. Assuming that this distinction is correct, between a Jewish body versus a non-Jewish body, the question is, where do some people fall in between? Is there any category of an individual who we're not quite sure how to define them for these purposes? Are they halachically considered to be Jewish or not considered to be Jewish? And that's something that Tosfos themselves raise, and that's the issue of an Eved Kena'ani. So an Eved Kena'ani, just a little bit of a background, starts off by being non-Jewish. The Eved Kena'ani now becomes a servant of a Jew. He undergoes a process of, if it's a male, he undergoes the process of Mila and Tevila. If it's a woman, she becomes a Shifra Kena'ani through the process of Tevila alone. Now the Eved Kena'ani becomes chayv in many, many mitzvos. They have to observe Shabbos, they have to observe Kashrus. However, certain mitzvahs they don't perform. An Eved Kena'ani basically doesn't perform the mitzvahs that a woman doesn't perform. So an Eved Kena'ani, though he's a male, doesn't put on tefillin, doesn't wear tittus, doesn't shake lulav, is not obligated to do the mitzvahs as they shes ban grama. So now the question becomes, what is this Eved Kena'ani? Is this Eved Kena'ani considered to be fundamentally a Jew, and therefore he would be asur b'hanah upon his death? Or would he be not a Jew, and therefore he would be permissible by law? The reason why this is so critical for our question is because this is the most common example of somebody who could potentially be a Hefzed Mamon. If a person owns an Eved Kena'ani, and that Eved Kena'ani falls into a bor, so now the question becomes, well, is that called somebody who we treat as a Meis HaAsa B'hanah, or is that a Meis HaMuta B'hanah? So that becomes a little bit tricky. The reason why this becomes tricky is because, as we mentioned a moment ago, an Eved Kena'ani has almost like characteristics of both. An Eved Kena'ani, on the one hand, is similar to a Jew, that they keep Shabbos and Kashrus. On the other hand, they're very, very different, because here he's a male, and he's not putting on tefillin. Here he's, if he tried to be Mekadesh HaIsha, the woman would not be Mekudeshes. So what is he? Is he fundamentally a Jew with a smattering of a couple of other halachas? Or is he fundamentally a non-Jew with a couple of other halachas that are thrown at him? So this question permeates not just this very, very technical, very, very, very small technical issue in terms of Hilchos Bor. This is something that we have to analyze any and every time we run into a shayla of Eved Kena'ani. We have to constantly ask ourselves the same question. Is an Eved Kena'ani fundamentally not Jewish with a couple of mitzvahs here and there tacked on? Or is an Eved Kena'ani fundamentally Jewish with a couple of Turim thrown at him? So let's see what the answer to that question is and eventually come back to how this impacts on us. So a lot of the sugya revolves around the 8th of the Marmakomos. It's a Tosfos in Baba Kama, da Pechesam and Aleph. What Tosfos is wondering about an entire Shach Matar in the Gemara is analyzing how do we know that an Eved Kena'ani is not accepted to be an aid. He cannot testify in Beis Din. What's the source for this? So the Mishnah says that it's true, that Eved Kena'ani is possible to aidus, and the Gemara is not sure what the source is. The Gemara comes up with some very, very complicated drushas. It's based on this Kavachayim, with this Mematzina, with this drusha, with this possible, everything under the sun, to try to get, to figure out what is the source for the din that appears in the Mishnah, that an Eved Kena'ani is possible to aidus. So Tosfos raises the question, what is the Gemara bending over backwards to prove that an Eved Kena'ani is possible to aidus? Tema asks Tosfos, Hayafidan b'chol duchto gezeri shavda lo lo me'isha. He says, wait a second, what is the source for an Eved Kena'ani status in mitzvahs in the first place? How do you know that an Eved Kena'ani keeps Shabbos and an Eved Kena'ani doesn't wear tefillin? How do you know he has to keep kosher and he doesn't wear tzitzis? Where did all those differences come from? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga, that's all based on a Gezeri Shabbos. It's all a Halacha Moshe Mesinai, based on the two words, the word law and the word law. It says, in the context of an Eved Kena'ani, a Chushol Nitan law, the Paskin Parshas Kedoshim, and the Torah uses the word law in the context of a woman, because of law, Sefer Krisos. So, Kach Nemra Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Gezeri Shabbos called law, la Me'isha, that all the halachas of a woman carry over to an Eved Kena'ani. So a woman has to keep Shabbos, Eved Kena'ani has to keep Shabbos, a woman has to eat kosher, Eved Kena'ani has to keep kosher. woman does not have to wear tefillin. Eved Kenani doesn't wear tefillin, etc. So a woman and an Eved are equated in terms of their level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Doesn't mean they're equated in many, many other aspects, but at least vis-a-vis the details of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, they're pretty much on equal footing. So we ask Tosfos, if so, why don't we use the same Gezer Rishava to disqualify an Eved Kenani from Eidus? It's a given that a woman is not acceptable to be an aid. That's a Mishnah Masechah Shavuos. The Gemara derives from a pasuk for Amdush Anoshim Anoshim Lo Anoshim. So there's no question that women are not acceptable to be aidim. It doesn't impact whatsoever on their trustworthiness. Two brothers are also possible to be aid. Moshe and Aaron would come together. We'd also throw them out of Beis Din. So just because somebody is not an aid, that doesn't mean that we don't believe them. Proof positive that we trust women. When it comes to areas of Eidecha Nem Bisurin, when it comes to Kashros, when it comes to other related issues, comes to Chosnid issues, so obviously we trust women. So we trust women with Yisur Kares, so it's not pshat that we don't trust them, but there are certain guidelines, certain parameters that are certain people who the Torah accepts to be Eidim or not. One of the possible reasons, again, in the Toshvich Sav we don't know, and we don't have a clear-cut Masorah on this, but one of the possible reasons why a woman would be not acceptable to be an aid may be related to a similar halacha, that when you have a melech, it's also not supposed to be an aid. It's considered to be like a bizoyan. It's considered to be not a mechumetic thing to force the person to come into a Beis Din and to testify, to be interrogated, to be cross-examined, etc. So perhaps, again, this is more derech hashkofa than derech halacha, perhaps the Torah had, in a sense, had more covered for the woman, that it's a breach of tzniyos for the woman to have to come and be subject to such interrogation. So maybe that's part of the reason why the Torah disqualified women. Again, maybe true, maybe not true, but again, the halacha is clearly the case that a woman is not accepted to be an aid. So ask Tosfos, if a woman can't be an aid, and an Eved Kenani is compared to a woman, so it's simple, it's easy. Why does the Gemara have to bend over backwards to disqualify an Eved? Typically, it's included in this Gezer Shava. So we skip down to the second line, it tells us, V'yei Shlomo, it tells us, says, the Chiga Mrina Lola Me'isha, Haidala Hachmir Ala Eved, La Soso Ki Yisrael L'chol Apachos B'mitzvah She'isha Chayeves. Aval Agaro Me'ish U'l'posel L'Eidus Ki'isha Lo Nilmad, the Miradin Kasher L'Eidus, the Chsiv Ha'amdu Shnei Anoshim, Ha'ishu. So it comes to us and says that you have to be careful when you invoke this Gezer Shava of Lola Me'isha. We're comparing an Eved to an Isha. Says tells us in all places, all precedents that we have using this Gezer Shava, we're talking about, in a sense, l'chumra, to make the person more obligated in mitzvahs, to make the person closer to being a Jew. So it says to us that the starting point in Eved Kenani, if I wouldn't have known anything, I would have said, he's not Jewish. He didn't convert. I mean, he had a meal, he had a tefillah, but it wasn't done for the purposes of conversion. He can't be a Mekadosh Anisha. So he's basically not Jewish. The starting point of Eved Kenani is you're not Jewish. Then the Torah says, and by the way, even though you're not yet Jewish, we'll throw a few mitzvahs at you. We'll tell you that, okay, Shabbos you still have to keep. You're not Jewish. Kashrus, you're not really Jewish. We'll throw at you 365 lav, a lot of mitzvahs. But in our heart of hearts, you don't really have Kedushas Yisrael until you're freed, and then you that's considered to be a Gemara Geirus, and then for sure you're considered to be a regular Jew. But until that point, you're not really considered to be a Jew. So the goal of the Gezer Shava is Hadla Hachmir La Eved La Soso Ki Yisrael. We're trying to throw a few mitzvahs here and there at you. But over here, to take the same Gezer Shava and knock you down a notch and say to you, you're a man, and the starting point is a man should be kosher the aid. And we're going to say, no, we're going to disqualify, we're going to make you less Jewish than you are, we're going to make you less of an aid than you are, so they can't have the same Gezer Shava working in both directions. So this is almost like a technical answer that Tosfos is saying. It's like a quirk at Hilchos Gezer Shavas. You have to make up your mind. Either Gezer Shavas are going this way or going that way. They can't collide with one another. So since we know the Gezer Shava is going in one direction, we wouldn't be able to use it in the other direction. What is clear from this Tosfos? The Tosfos is assuming that the starting point of an Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani is basically not Jewish. That's the starting point. But he has a couple of mitzvahs here and there for good luck. But Ikaron, in our heart of hearts, and Eved Kenani is not really Jewish. However, Tosfos in other places asks the exact same question and gives entirely different answers. So says Tosfos in the 9th of the Maamar Kamos in Maseches Zvachim, Tosfos asks the same question. V'hikshu Rabbeinu Chaim. Rabbeinu Chaim was a very fascinating one of the Balei Tosfos. His name is Rabbeinu Chaim Katz, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen. He was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and then in his later years he decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he went to Israel with a group of Bali Atayis. They went for one reason. They wanted to stop to bring Karbanos. Unfortunately, they made it to Eretz Yisrael, but they never succeeded in bringing Karbanos. But when they did succeed, they were like the briskers of old. So they sat and learned Karbanos all day. So all the Tosfos that we have in Maseches Zvachim, every other line is from Rabbeinu Chaim. That he was very, very much, him and his Talmid and his colleagues were very much involved in the study of Kachim in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So Rabbeinu Chaim poses this question. It's a Tosfos in Maseches Zvachim. Rabbeinu Chaim poses the question. Vikshu Rabbeinu Chaim, the Reper Kachovel, Matzich Trei Kwega B'Eidos, Chad L'Miutei Noshe V'Chad L'Miutei Avodim. That he makes reference to the Gemara Bava Kama that requires one pasuk to disqualify women from Eidos, and another pasuk to disqualify Levi Kenani from Eidos. So what happened to the Gzeri Shava? It's the exact same question that Tosfos asked in Bava Kama. But comes Rabbeinu Chaim and gives a different answer entirely via Shlomar. This Gezer Shav was only given for mitzvahs. Mitzvahs I can understand, I can compare one to another. When it comes to Eidos, it doesn't make any sense to compare Avadim to women. Why is that? They ain't totally been Amonos. Because this whole disqualification for who can be an aid, who can't be an aid, has nothing to do with who we believe. It has nothing to do with honesty, nothing to do with trustworthiness. Sharia, proof that we gave before. Sharia, Moshe B'Aaron, Lomi Eden. Lomushu B'Lom Hemneh. Would anybody say, Moshe B'Aaron, sorry, we're suspecting that you're liars, we won't accept your Eidus. So the answer is, Hilchu Checha de Goli Goli. Therefore, all of us Eidus is a Chiddush. The fact that this person is kosher, this person is pasul, doesn't really make any sense, not logical. The fact that a woman is psul liedos and a man is kosher doesn't make any sense, it's not a logical statement. That's litis. Whenever you're dealing with chidushi haTorah, we cannot extrapolate one from another. You can't say, well, let's compare an Eved to an Isha. Stop. You don't even understand why an Isha is psul in the first place. You can only derive one thing from another when it fits in, it makes sense, it's all logical. Once you're in a different realm, you're in the realm of a chiddush, so then you have no right to extrapolate, to derive one from another. So Rabbeinu Chaim did not give the answer that Tosfos gave in Bava Kama. Tosfos in Bava Kama said, we can't ruin it for the Eved because the Gzeirah Shavah is only going in one direction, not the other direction. Rabbeinu Chaim never said anything like that. Rabbeinu Chaim gave an entirely different answer. It could be that he disagrees with Tosfos in Bava Kama. It could be that Rabbeinu Chaim held that an Eved Kenani is the exact opposite. Eved Kenani is really, truly 100% Jewish, but he doesn't have to wear tefillin. He's 100% Jewish, but he doesn't have to wear tzitzis. So it's is the cup half empty or half full? Everybody agrees that the bottom line is the Eved Kenani has to do certain things and doesn't have to do other things. Everybody agrees he can't be Mekadosh and Isha. On the other hand, everyone agrees he has to keep Shabbos. So what is he? Is he fundamentally a goy with a few mitzvahs? Fundamentally a Jew with no mitzvahs?
It seems that it's simple. He's whatever we call him a chiyuv, he's chasem one thing, which is a bris between himself, his entity, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that one entity, whichever way you want to look at it, as a negative or positive, it's just chasem that one mida, which is a bris between himself and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which he can enter once he gets freed, but.
Right, right. So you're 100% right. I'm not sure I would use the word bris. I'll tell you why. Because the word bris almost conjures up like a bris milah, which he has.
No, but the bris is mamish.
Means he doesn't have the next step. He doesn't have the next step.
Which is the bris ben Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we saw inherited. Now, the bris of the bris milah is, you know, something else. But there's a bris between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's sort of like, a gateway to the next level.
Right, so that's exactly the question. Is that really true that he's actually missing something in terms of his entering into Klal Yisrael? Or is he's already crossed that bridge. Once he had a Mila and he had a Tevila, so he's basically like a Ger. He's like a Ger missing a few mitzvahs.
That's why he's bris, because it's like a person who can't get a bris, he's going to be chaser some type of element of Chiyuvim, Korban Pesach, other things, but the entity into this state is a state of semi-kosher.
Okay, so that's the question. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out, because he does have certain aspects of one, certain aspects of another, and this will impact on our kind of shiles in terms of whether it's osabano or muntabano. So there is another aspect of this sugya of Eved Kenani that may impact on this as well, and that's, if we take a look at the 10th of the Marmakomos, Tosfos is commenting on a Gemara in Yevamos that says that when an Eved Kenani becomes freed, he has to go to the mikvah again, second time around. So when he became an Eved Kenani, he went Alts Avdus, he had a meal in a Tevilah Shem Avdus, and now, 10 years later, he goes back to the mikvah we call Tevilah Shniyah, And the question is, where did this come from? What is this all about? What are the parameters of this tefillah shniyah? So if you understand why he's going to the mikvah a second time around, you may get a little bit of a better understanding what he was beforehand. Was he really Jewish or not really Jewish? So Tosfos comments in the 10th of the Rambam Kamos, "Bekula shmeis et mashma, the eved boy tefillah k'shem ishtachrer." It would appear from the entire sugya in the fourth parak of Yevamos that an Eved Kenani has to go to the mikvah a second time around. The first tefillah was not sufficient. That's a given. So Tosfos has a very, very strange question. Bekasha. That b'sholeach amrina in the fourth parak of Git, and the Gemara tells us a very strange scenario. Hakosu shta eris of the shivchoso, v'amalot ibo viskachibo mashu kudeshes afgav lo tofla. The Gemara quotes a brisa of the following very, very bizarre case. A person has a Shifcha Kenanis, the oldest Shifcha Kenanis, and he decides that he wants to marry the Shifcha Kenanis. Well, in the state of being a Shifcha Kenanis, that's out of the question. That's according to many Rishonim, that's in the Seder Aisa. So for sure he can't marry her when she's still a Shifcha Kenanis. But in theory, what he could do is he could free her, and then he could subsequently marry her. That in theory he could do. So he's a little bit on the cheaper end. He wants to save a little bit of piece of paper. So he doesn't want to bother first freeing her, giving her a shtah shichur, and then writing her another document, then be mekasher a second time around. So he'll knock it all off at one shot. So he writes on a piece of paper. He says, he writes to Harei Mekudesh, and he hands it to her. Hands it up, but she's not yet freed. So some Tanoim say, well, built into that is freedom. It means when you say Harei Mekudeshes Li, that is tantamount to saying, I want you to be able to be married to me, which is no less than saying, I'm hereby freeing you. So the guy could save a couple of pennies on his paper and pencil, that he can use the same document to free her and to almost simultaneously be Mekadisha. So the Tanoim have a technical machlokes, does that work or not? Is a Lashon Kedushin, a Lashon Shichur, not a Lashon Shichur, a very, very technical, nitty-gritty machlokes about whether this particular scenario will work or not. So Tosfos...
Is she the ring?
What?
Is she the ring?
Well, you don't need a ring. You can even Kaddish Tisha with a shtar.
With herself?
No, with a shtar. You can write a shtar. So he's going to write the same piece of paper, and potentially that's going to double. So Tosfos has a technical question. Tosfos says, wait a second. Even if the language in the shtar is accurate, she didn't go to mikveh yet. She didn't have tevila shniya. And if she didn't have tefillah shniyah, so how could you be mekadisha? Ain kedushin tovse b'shivcha. So Tosfos says, "Nah, v'yeshlamu da'irgon shetovle mikodem." Now she went to the mikvah before. It means it's a hokav v'yaskid. In a case, Tosfos says she went to the mikvah. She's just missing that documentation, and now you want to knock off both documents, the shtar kedushin, the shtar shichra, with one shot. But of course she went to the mikvah. If she wouldn't have gone to the mikvah, there would be nothing to discuss because you can't be mekadesh shivcha before she actually goes to the mikvah. That's Shittas Tosfos. Comes the Ritva in the 11th of the Marma Kamos. It talks about a shayla, real, unfortunately, a tragic shayla maisa. And Tosfos, and the Ritva disagrees with this Tosfos. The 11th of the Marma Kamos, the Ritva discusses the following. What if you have a Jew who never went off the derech, and I mean literally off the derech, converted to another religion, and now they want to come back to be chozer b'tshuva. So what do you do with such a person? Is it necessary to almost like bring them back into the fold? Is there some kind of a formal, almost like a gerus process that's done to, in a sense, almost like reconvert them back? So the Ritva writes, the 11th of the Rambam Kamos, for Yisrael shechata v'chozer b'tshuva. Yisrael did a terrible averus, he converted to another religion, he comes back with tshuva. The kuliyam ashuris hadin, he doesn't really require another tevila because he never lost his Kiddush Yisrael in the first place. When you're not Jewish and you want to attain Kiddush Yisrael, you have to go to the mikvah. Person was Jewish. Yisrael afa bishachata Yisraelu. But what should you have? Ela kabbalas chaverus with rebeis and lechatchila. What we should do is have him come to us, the Rabbanim and Beis Din, and to tell us that he's really serious. He really wants to become, quote unquote, become Jewish again. So the Ritva says he doesn't need a formal geirus, but we really do want to hear a commitment from him that he wants to become back to Klal Yisrael before we, you know, open up our arms in a sense to bring him back into the Jewish community. V'yafa pichein, says the Ritva, even though there's no real need for a geirus, afa pichein hu tova midirabanan, we should bring him to the mikvah. We should have him come to the mikvah midirabanan, mishumayla, as an added level of kiddush, an added level of indicating that he's entering, quote unquote, back into the Kiddush Yisrael, even though minatora, that's not necessary to do. And why should we do this? What's the precedent for this idea that when somebody is going up a notch in Kedusha, you bring them back to the mikvah? Says the Ritva, the following comparison. Dumi de tefilas eved b'shachrar. The same way that an eved when he gets freed, goes back to the mikvah. She'ein tvilaso ela midrabanan. That's only midrabanan. The requirement of a second tvila when the eved becomes freed, everybody agrees, almost everybody agrees, it's only midrabanan, says the Ritva. So you see that Chazal was sensitive to this. See, the Chazal thought this was important, that when a person goes up to the next level, even though minat Torah it's not necessary to actually convert, nevertheless, going to the mikvah is an appropriate practice to be done, to highlight, to indicate you're actually going up a rung in Kedusha. So just as the Eved Kenayni is going to the mikvah midrabanan, so too the person who converted out of Judaism, when he comes back, goes to the mikvah midrabanan as well. That's the Ritva's comparison. It's clear that the Ritva disagreed with Tosfos, because according to Tosfos, the requirement of going to the mikvah the second time around for the Eved Kenayni, the Tefillah Shniyah, was Deraisa. If it wouldn't have been Deraisa, then Tosfos wouldn't have been bothered with the question, how could you be Kadishar? She didn't go to the mikveh yet. Big deal. She didn't go to the mikveh. So it's only Drabana anyway. What's the big difference? If the requirement of the second tevila is only Drabana, that's not going to impact on the validity of the Kedushin. So for the fact that Tosfos made a whole fuss, a whole to-do, a whole kasha about what happened to the tevila, she didn't go to the mikveh, gaval, terrible. From the fact that Tosfos made such a fuss about it, that seems to indicate to us that they took this tevila very, very seriously. They took this tevila seriously on the level even of Minat Torah. So we now have a machlokas in front of us between Tosfos and the Ritva. Is this requirement of tevila shniyah Minat Torah? Is the requirement only midrabanan? What do we think this machlokas depends upon? What should the answer to that question be? Should the second tefillah be required Minat Torah like Tosfos, or only be midrabanan like the Ritva? So the answer is obvious. It depends. Was he Jewish? Was he not Jewish? You require a tefillah when you're not Jewish. So what is an Eved Kenayni? According to Tosfos, an Eved Kenayni is not really Jewish. Just because he had a first tevilah, that tevilah didn't make him Jewish. He's considered to be an Eved Kenayni is somewhere in the middle. He's not quite a regular goy. He's not a Jew. He doesn't have full Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, at the point when he attains full Kedushas Yisrael, i.e. at the time of Shichur, when he gets freed, he will require an additional tevilah midda araisa. According to the Ritva, that's not true. According to the Ritva, what does he need a tefillah deraisa for? He already did. He did a tefillah deraisa when he became an Eved in the first place. When he transformed from being an Eved to being a free man, that's only midrabanan. There's no real change in him. Nothing has radically changed in his essence of his status, because he was already a full-fledged Jew beforehand. And therefore, the second tefillah is just that derabanan is a chumrah, it's a ma'ala kedusha, but it's not a real din. So we have a few cases in the Rishonim, issues relating to Eidus, issues relating to tefillah, which seem to highlight that there are two fundamental different schools of thought. How do you view an Eved Kenayni? Is an Eved Kenayni fundamentally a non-Jew with a smattering of a mitzvah here and there? Or is an Eved Kenayni fundamentally a Jew with a ptur from mitzvahs here and there? And again, this impacts on our sugya, because if you really believe that a Jewish mace is also banah and a non-Jewish mace is mutter banah, where do you place an Eved Kenayni? So the answer is, it depends on this. If he's fundamentally Jewish, then it's a problem. He is also banah. If he's fundamentally not Jewish, then he would be permissible banah. I'm saying.
For tefillah, why would you think that an Eved and Shifra are the same? I mean, Eved did a couple of steps towards his conversion already. And Shifra...
Well, Shifra also did. She did a tefillah also when she became a Shifra. So the same way that a man converts through Mila and tefillah, a woman converts through tefillah alone, that's the parallel that an Eved and a Shifra did. So we're still up in the air. We're still not sure what the din is, what the status of the Eved Kenayni would be. And again, it impacts on a couple of areas of Allah. Okay.